Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
My name is Tim. I'm the lead pastor here at Mosaic. It's great to be with you this morning. I hope that you had a great Christmas. And as I say that, I realize that that probably looks very different to each and every one of us, what Christmas looks like. I was thinking earlier that I remember the time in my life, I was a young boy, and that I realized that not everybody had the same experience or even the same value or the same plan for what Christmas Day would look like. And remember seeing somebody, when it clicked for me, I don't know if you had this experience, or maybe you were way ahead of me in this, but realizing that people worked on Christmas Day. Did you, I hope I didn't ruin it for anyone. You all knew that, right? Sorry if you're a kid and you're like, what? Everybody stays home and plays with their new toys on Christmas. Well, not everyone does. And Christmas looks different for some of us. I hope you had a good experience. I've talked to friends and folks that are part of our church family here, and some are great and they had great experiences. Others were disappointing and even painful. And one of the reasons that we do exactly what we're doing right now, which is come together and gather in one place. And we don't know everybody, but one of the things that we want to do and hope to do as we gather here is that we're unified in one way, and that we want to come and look to the person of Jesus again and experience him together in a room like this, and through song and through opening up scripture together. And so regardless of what your last 48, 72 hours have looked like, whether they've been just better than expected or whether it's been a struggle, it's good to be with you together today, right now, in this room, in this space, in this time. This particular Sunday, which falls in between Christmas and New Year's, for the last few years, I hesitate to call it a tradition because it feels like we have to be doing something longer for it to be called a tradition, but we've had a rhythm of doing this, the same thing on this particular Sunday the last few years, and that's we've invited a few of our leaders to come and just to share what God's taught them this past year. Kind of a lessons learned is what we've called it, and just to look back and say, this is what I've learned from Jesus in this past year. And we've asked a slightly different question each of the past few years, and this year our question is this. Is in terms of following Jesus, how have you grown as an apprentice this year? So for those of you that are followers of Jesus, and many of us are, some of you may not be, but many of us are following Jesus. And one of the things this past fall that we talked about in a series that we called Beautiful was that one of the things God's calling us as a church family, as Mosaic, is to be apprentices of Jesus, learners, disciples, followers of Jesus. And so how have you grown as an apprentice this year? And so what we've done today is there's going to be 9 different leaders that share over the course of our 4 gatherings. And so there's going to be 3 right now, and then there's 3 in North going on right now, and then 3 later this evening. And so you'll get to hear right now from 3 different leaders. I get to be one of them this year, and then you'll also hear from Drew and from Kim. And so I want to ask you to invite them as they come and join me up here. But Drew and Kim are going to come, and would you welcome them up here? So if you've been around for any amount of time here at Mosaic, you know this, but if you're maybe new or a guest, the reason that we exist, what we feel called to as a church is to follow Jesus, and like I just said, to follow Jesus, to be his apprentice of followers, that we would follow Jesus. That's what this is all about, but to do it in authentic community, that we actually relate to one another in a certain type of way, and what we want to be is a community that's authentic. And by that, what we mean is that we're just honest about both the joys and the struggles of life, that we actually share some of that, that we don't just talk about it, but we actually talk about it from our own lives and demonstrate that. And so that's part of what this is about, is you hearing from some leaders here at Mosaic, and then for the world, to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world, that we actually are giving ourselves away in a whole lot of different ways, both to the world that's right next door to us and to the world that's on the other side of the globe. So that's what we exist. And so this has been fun to do the last few years. And so this year, Drew, Kim, and I, Drew has been, you've been on our staff team now, pastor here at Mosaic for 10 months.
Just about 10 months.
Just almost 10 months.
Maybe more, actually. Really? I'm not good with time.
You're not?
Yeah.
Okay, that's... I'm a little concerned that you have a mic in your hand and you're not concerned about time, so...
Sorry.
That's...
I apologize.
We'll just kind of do this.
Hit mute if you need to. Yeah.
That's funny. Mid-February.
Yep.
Yeah.
February 15th.
Yeah. There you go. So
exact.
That's over... slightly over 10 months. Doesn't matter. Drew actually commented we were leaving. We had a great... if you were here for Christmas Eve, we had a fantastic Christmas Eve. I walked away from Christmas Eve a couple nights ago feeling like it was the most worshipful Christmas Eve gathering ever. So if you were here, I hope you had a great experience. We had a little over 1,000 people that were one of our four gatherings on Christmas Eve. Drew and I were walking out of one, I think, toward the parking lot, and he said, this marks 1 year from my first interview, which apparently you interviewed with somebody here at Mosaic on Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve of 2014. So, yeah.
I'm not sure what I think about that, but there you go. That's cool. Drew oversees our connections ministries, and so the folks that volunteer to welcome us when we walk into this room every Sunday and help greet and take care of us, Drew leads that whole team. And then if you're looking for a way to...
Make coffee.
They do. It's such a great
Thank
job.
You for making coffee.
Of this huge, huge roar. That's... no, nobody... no. And then if you're looking for a place to connect at Mosaic, Drew will be helping the team that does that all the time. So, and then Kim will be sharing as well. And Drew's been around for almost a year. Kim, you and your family for 9-10 years, and then in a staff role of one kind or another for about 8 years, is our kids pastor right now, and then also oversees our kind of operations and financial stuff behind the scenes. And so, you've served everyone in some way at Mosaic and in your roles here. So thank you. And then my name's Tim. I'm the lead pastor here. So we're each going to share. And Drew, would you get us started with how you answer this question in your life this year?
Yeah. So the question actually was a challenge when Tim first said, hey, this is the angle I want to go. And part of it is because to some extent, I feel like God's been a little bit quiet in my life. So the idea of going, how have I grown as an apprentice, when it's been a challenge at times to hear God's voice, it was good. Like, it was a good challenge for me to be able to process that. So as I took some time to really like reflect on why that is, I feel like I was able to come to some pretty clear, or at least one clear conclusion as to why that's been a challenge. And it's related to this. I don't know if you can relate to this, but I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to lack anything. It's not something that I like to talk about when I miss the mark, or when I'm off, or when I have an idea and it maybe isn't the best idea. So as I started thinking about that, I reflected on, this is actually not a new thing for me. It's actually been a struggle that I've had for a while. This idea of being wrong, or not wanting to be wrong, played itself out in my life as where I started to hide. Like, I started to hide the areas of my life that were broken, that were wrong, that were off. As Tim and I were talking about it, he said, it sounds like you even, like what you actually do is you quarantine yourself off. So like, that kind of gives you a picture. I remember doing it growing up. I remember being called into the principal's office as a young kid and them saying, why did you shove that pee up your nose? And me being like, because I thought it would be fun. You know, like, or even my parents going, like, why did you choose something? Like, why did you choose a specific action that you did that is kind of opposite of who we know you are? And I wouldn't necessarily respond with honesty. I would give half of who I was. Or maybe if you're a parent, you can think about it like this. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had your young child. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. I don't know if you've ever had your young child do something that maybe made you feel ashamed. Like, run into a room of a bunch of adults completely naked and scream, "I'm naked." I don't know what that might be. Like, or say something that made you feel uncomfortable. What I found for me is that those things are pretty, that idea of hiding is pretty tightly associated with a struggle that I've had for a while, and it's a struggle of shame. I hide myself because there's things that I'm actually ashamed of. When my kid acts out like any normal kid would, I find myself feeling like ashamed of that. Like maybe I'm doing something wrong as a parent. And it's this isn't a new struggle for me. A part of my story of being really grounded here at Mosaic, I had a friend here about 8 years ago who identified this in me. As he started to see patterns in my life of how I had actually, like I would hide myself. I wouldn't address things with honesty. And it sent me on a journey of taking a pretty serious look at this, where I went to counseling for about 2 years to kind of unearth the depths of shame, like patterns of shame that had worked into my life. And to the point where like I feel like I'm actually in a healthy spot as it relates to like interacting with my kids and my wife. My interpersonal relationships are actually in a better place because of the work that I did to work through the shame that I had felt. But I hadn't necessarily done all of the, like it wasn't over, and it came into pretty clear focus sometime in October or November for me. I was reading through 1 Thessalonians, and I came up to this verse in 1 Thessalonians 3, and it says this, it says, "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." This is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica to a bunch of people who he's saying something really clearly. He's saying, like, I can't wait to be around you to supply what's lacking in your faith. And it stuck out like a neon sign for me, that supply what's lacking in your faith. And what it was for me was this. It was God saying really clearly, you might have done some work on this idea of shame and hiding yourself with other people, but you actually haven't done that work with me yet. You actually hide yourself from me. And one of the reasons that it might be hard for you to hear my voice clearly is because you aren't actually bringing yourself to the table in relationship with me. So as I've looked back on that, like realizing like what I've learned as an apprentice of Jesus is that God is actually safe. I don't have to hide from God. I don't have to pretend or perform. I don't have to give him something that he wants for me to be loved and accepted. In fact, actually, my faith that lacks is the very thing that opens me up to be able to hear more clearly from him. The way that I worded that is this. I said, the more of myself I bring to God, I'm able to hear him more. So the more honest I'm able to be with God about anger or frustration or shame or discouragement or even how, like, or doubt, the more I'm able to be honest about that with God, the more I'm able to hear him speak, the more likely I'm able to hear his voice. So what I'm learning is this, that I can actually be straight with God, which may sound weird, like God knows everything, right? Like, so there is this natural tendency to where I don't, like, I should know that. Like, I don't have to hide from him. So I can be straight with him. As I was getting ready to think through this, I've been reading this book by a guy named Brennan Manning. And the way that he says this, he says it like this. He goes, it's okay not to be okay. And I'm learning that that's actually helpful for me in my relationship with God to be able to hear him more clearly, so that it's actually okay for me to not be okay. And then the other part of it is just this realization that not only is God safe, but that we can be safe for each other, and that we can actually support each other when our faith lacks. That the more freedom that I have to be honest with God and even honest with other people, that I get the opportunity to see my lacking faith be supported by others whose faith might not lack in that way, who are able to come around me and alongside of me and help me think through and process what it means to not be okay, what it means to be honest with God about not being okay. So that's it. So God's safe, and I'm learning to engage in God, in a relationship with God who's safe and loves me as a child that I don't have to perform for Him. So.
Amen. Can you share with us maybe a specific example of where you've hidden or performed?
Yeah. So Kim asked me that question at the 9 o'clock, and it was really funny to be asked that question in this context, because what I did was I actually felt like I needed to make something up. Like I needed to come up with like a really good specific answer, right? So like in the moment I went, let me think about that. That's a great question. And then as I've, since between now, like between the 9 and the and where we're at right now, I actually was like, I think if I'm going to be honest, I don't necessarily have a really specific example, and that's okay. Like, it's okay for me to go, like, I don't have, like, this spot where I can zero in and go, yeah, I know exactly how that looks right now. But I actually am able to sit up here and go, I'm okay not having an answer to that, and I'm pretty secure and not feeling like I have to make something up in the moment. So there you go. So that's my answer to that specific question. No, I don't. So
I love the idea that, and I think we all can relate with this, but the idea that where we're lacking or where we have doubt, that we move away from community, that we move in towards hiding and performing, and it actually isolates us from relationship, where what the verse that God spoke to you through is just saying so clearly, like, it's in community that we can support you through that, and that we are supported through that. So we want to bring our doubts and where we lack into relationship with each other. I so appreciate being a part of this community that values safety, that values just us coming authentically as broken people and being safe for each other to follow Jesus with. So I think you really modeled that by sharing, so thank you.
Thanks.
And now, you set it up for me to do that.
I did.
That,
now so go for it. Now you can be extremely vulnerable with this.
Awesome. My favorite thing. No, I'm just kidding. Well, this is a lesson I've been learning in this last season, just really recently. It's really fresh for me. And it's a little embarrassing for me to admit. I actually, like Drew, want to move more into hiding this part of myself. So I'm just going to ask that you guys don't label me when I admit this lesson to you. And that's that recently I discovered that I sometimes label people, and I labeled somebody. it's a friend that I've known actually for a while, and we've spent a lot of time together in the early part of our relationship, of our friendship. We talked a lot. We talked. We processed a lot. This friend was going through a really difficult, painful season, and so spent a lot of time with them, processing, giving advice, some praying together. We shared our pasts, our family histories. We talked about how we thought things should operate, how we thought the world should run. I felt really invested in the well-being of this friend. And out of the blue, what felt like out of the blue to me, this friendship took a hard shift. And it's like it hit a major bump, but I had no idea why. So I was racking my brain, like, what happened? Why did things change? It started to, when we were around each other, it was awkward. It was uncomfortable. It was sometimes tension-filled. We had a lot of the same friends, so we were still around each other. And those interactions weren't easy. They were difficult. It was really confusing for me. And I started to hear from some of our mutual friends about some issues that this person had with me, some issues that they had with our relationship and our friendship. As the friends started to share these things, and as I was engaging in this kind of like weird, awkward relationship, I started to just kind of think this whole thing is kind of imaginary. Like, what I'm hearing is not true. It doesn't make sense, and it's not what I think or experience is reality. And so I started to kind of harden against the person. I hardened against the relationship with them. I didn't approach it with a soft heart. Actually, what I did was I labeled them, and the label that I gave them in my head and in my heart was drama queen. And so what I did when I did that was I put that person, and I took all of the complexities of the relationship, the mutual wounds, the frustrations, the history that we had shared, and I took it all and I put it up in a box in my mind, and I kind of stamped it, defective, drama queen, and I moved it aside, and I kind of, to borrow your word, I quarantined myself from that person emotionally and socially. I felt like I was being accused of things, and what my go-to was to protect myself, was to defend myself. So instead of approaching the tension in our relationship, instead of moving towards the relationship and approaching it with a desire to mend it and to repair it and to have it be a peace-filled relationship, instead I actually moved away from the person. I distanced myself from them. And really what I did was I wrote the relationship off, and when I did that, I wrote the person off. In late October, so really recently, that friend actually wanted to meet up and to hash things out. And that was kind of terrifying for me at that point. It sounded like a painful, uncomfortable thing to do. And it also, because I felt distant from the person, it didn't really seem worth my time. At that point, I had such a hard heart against that person that when I even had friends talk about them, when I'd run into them, when I'd think about them, it was hard for me not to roll my eyes. I was pretty frustrated. And so actually to meet and sit and talk to them and hear their frustrations and hear their heart, that just didn't sound awesome to me. So, but I also, because we have mutual friends and because we run in similar circles, I also knew that if I didn't meet with them and at least hear them, that I was gonna look like a jerk. And so less about the relationship and more about not wanting to look like a jerk, I agreed to meet with the person, and I was dreading it. I just had my defenses up. I had all the ways that I thought they were irrational, and I just didn't think it was. I just thought it was irritating. Mostly, that was the primary thing that I thought when I thought about the situation. But the night before we were supposed to meet, we were going to meet on a Monday morning, and the night before we were going to meet Sunday evening, I was sitting right over there, and we were in our beautiful series, which was this fall, and it was where we looked at Scripture and we looked at who Jesus was calling us to be as individuals and as a community. And He is calling us to be a people that, what we're doing, talking about how we're apprenticing, we want to be people who are apprenticing. We're broken people who come together, and we want to be honest and authentic about that. We also want to be safe people for each other, and we want to be joyful. And the word that we were talking about that night was generous, that God is calling us to be a generous people. And Matt was talking about how God has given to us so generously. He's given to us sacrificially. He's given us everything, and he does it with love. And Matt was talking about how we can move forward in reflecting God in that way. And it was talking some about possessions and resources, how can we be generous with what we have, but it was also talking about how can we be generous with who we are to the people around us, how we engage with them. And as he started to go into communion, I was praying and just asking God to reveal to me where I am not reflecting him in generosity, where I'm not like him. And I felt God really gently saying to me, you're being stingy with grace with this person. Be generous to them. Be generous with grace. And actually, during that time, God actually started to bring up situations to me where I've experienced people's generous grace, where I've experienced forgiveness, where I've experienced compassion, and God was actually leading me to have a desire to do that in this relationship the next day in this conversation, to approach it that way. So I confessed. It was a pretty powerful moment for me in my life. It was kind of like light bulb moment. And actually in that moment, I felt where all the tumultuousness that I had felt, all the lack of peace, the chaos and the frustration and the irritation, I actually just felt peace take over in those ways. And I just trusted that Jesus was going to lead me through this. I didn't know how the person was going to approach the relationship. But listen to this, or the conversation the next day, but listen to this scripture and this description of who God is. It's from Psalm 86:15. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. I'm just going to let that sink in. I'll read it again. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. In that moment, God was revealing to me how different I am than that, that I'm not a person who's abounding in graciousness and compassion and love, but how I can become that and how he wants me to become that. So I decided after sitting in that moment and praying and taking communion and moving forward was that the next day I was going to approach the conversation trusting that Jesus was going to equip me to be these things. He was going to help me be compassionate, be loving, be gracious, be slow to anger. And we met, and I didn't know what the conversation would result in. I didn't know how it would, in my mind, I thought the person was just going to probably insult me over and over. That's what I thought was going to happen. But that didn't happen. I didn't know this, but God had been working in that person's heart, and that person had been also praying about this conversation. And we met together, and we both came with soft hearts towards each other. We both move towards engaging in relationship with each other. We move towards each other, and we move towards peace. It was really beautiful to experience that. That doesn't happen every time, but I knew at that time, because of the process that Jesus had taken me through and taken my heart through, that even in future situations like that, if I am pursuing where Jesus is leading me with compassion and graciousness, that I'm going to have that peace in spite of the circumstances. So, I've had the chance in the last 2 months to actually have this be brought up several times. I didn't realize it was as much of a pattern in my life as it is, but God's brought up different situations where he's been able to lead me in this way. This verse has come to my mind, and I've just been learning from him how to be more like that.
Thanks, Kim. We've talked through this a couple times, and we shared these same three things in our first gathering this morning at 9. And listening to you now, you actually shared even further detail. I don't know if you realize that, but there's new words and new description that came out. So thank you. It gives us a picture into what's going on in your heart. And the thing that you actually asked for at the beginning, don't label me. And you used another word in the first guy, gentle, like be gentle with me, is the very thing that you were able to extend. And when we do that in relationships, it's an opportunity for God to work in and through us in a very different way than we're used to. We're used to ramping up and going to battle kind of that in those difficult relational moments like that. So thank you. I want to sure. Gosh, like listening to you guys, I'm like, that's just great. Let's just end and
just pray.
Just pray. Let's just pray. You just pray and be done. I'm like, oh man, honestly, like, I don't know if you're feeling this way. I'll just tell you this right now. It's like when somebody shares like this part of them that they can really easily not share, you're like, yeah, that is that you should fix that in you. Like, and so I don't want to put mine out there now, but that's so bad. I did, and I'm going to work on that. That's going to be next year. I'll share how I grow on that. So here's mine. The question again is, as a follower of Jesus, how have I grown as an apprentice this past year? And I need to share two things that will help kind of clarify and make sense. The first one is this. I made mashed potatoes last year. I thought there would be a roar of applause, and so that's, wow, that's disappointing.
That's a miracle, right?
It's close. It's approaching a miracle. I made mashed potatoes last year. I had instructions from my wife, Abby, and she told me how to make them, and I did it. I took potatoes, which I think those come out of the ground, and I went through a process, and they turned into this delicious, wonderful bowl, massive bowl of mashed potatoes that, while my bride was away at work, me and my three sons devoured, and I will speak for them. It was probably the best thing that we've ever eaten before. And so I made mashed potatoes this past year.
Watch these three heads.
Yeah, they're all this. They're going. We should have planned this better. Say, dang it. So that's the first thing you need to know about my year. The second thing is that I'm just going to assume, like all of us, we have a certain relational DNA and patterns that we do life with. And so particularly when you're married and then you have kids and you have a family and you have a home, we have rhythms that we get into and ways that we interact. So I've been married 18 years. This past August was 18 years for Abby and I. And we got married, and then our firstborn, Ethan, came before our two-year anniversary. And so really early on in our marriage, we had kids. That first year for us was really difficult. If you've been around Mosaic before, I've told you that. I share that really openly. Our first year was really, really difficult. We have grown as a couple to where we can actually, Abby and I have the capacity now to be friends with other couples who had wonderful first years. We didn't have that for a long time. We had a really difficult, we weren't quite sure how Ethan showed up. It was that kind of difficult. If that'll hit you this afternoon, then you can. We had a hard first year, and then at year 11, we went to counseling because it wasn't going really well. And we went to counseling. We spent a few years going to marriage counseling, and our marriage is completely different today. It's better. It's healed in some ways. It's very different. But within that, we've had this DNA or this rhythm where I've always worked full time, and significant chunk of those 18 years of marriage, I've also done school on the side. And so what that's meant is that Abby has been running point in the home. And so she decides how the home functions and how it gets cleaned. She has carried the lion's share of the parenting tasks around the house. That's been our pattern. It's been agreed upon. And in many ways, it's worked for us well. I know everybody does that kind of differently, but that's what has worked for us well. In the last few years in our marriage, she has expressed dreams and passions and desires, and some of it came out of our counseling experience that she wanted to pursue, and so we began to make adjustments, slight adjustments on how we shared things in the home so that she could pursue those. This past year, I made mashed potatoes. That was part of it. That was one of the adjustments, the things that changed. And I want to share this verse with you. It's in the book of John, and actually it's a text that we use within our beautiful series that has been mentioned already. But one of our teaching pastors, Jason, taught on this verse. It's of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And so if you're familiar with the story, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It's something that had to get done. Like, feet were dirty, they had to get cleaned. It was a practical task that had to do. Jesus was the last one in the room that anyone would expect to do it. When I point you to this verse, please know I'm not putting myself in the place of Jesus here. I don't think I'm like the Lord and teacher that comes in and is like, look at me, I'm going to wash your feet, or look at me, I'm going to make mashed potatoes. But that is how I felt. I kind of felt like, did you see what I just did? Like, I came in and I did this, and you know, can we please kind of have a standing ovation at the table as you eat what I have prepared for you? And it's not true just about that. It's true of other things as well, that as I began to pick up responsibilities and different tasks, as we began to shift as a family, and how Abby and I shared the workload of life and parenting in our home, I was taking on some things that I didn't normally do, and I wasn't good at, and I had to learn at, and I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't want to do that. But what I do want to do is, in our home, I want to make the adjustments so my wife can pursue her dreams and passions, and And what that's meant is that I've had to serve in some really practical ways that I'm not good at. My role, I'm a pastor, and so everything I do in my vocational, professional role here at Mosaic is serving in one way or another. You know what? I've had a lot of practice at it, and a few of the things I can do fairly well, and there's actually a lot of things that people say, hey, thank you for. That's not true of this kind of serving. That's not true of this. I don't know how to do this. I actually have to find a... Here's dinner, and there's instructions rather than directions to a location where I can pick up food and bring it home. There's directions on how to make it in the home. This is new for me. And so it has been a shift in me to actually serve in ways that nobody sees, that I'm not really good at, and that I have to figure out how to do. What has happened for me, how I have actually grown as a follower of Jesus, as an apprentice to Jesus, is not just be willing to do that, but I can tell you honestly, toward the end of the year now, I'm actually getting to the point where I enjoy it. I wouldn't have believed you if you told me that 9 months ago, 6 months ago maybe, but to where I get to see how it's serving my family, even when they don't give me a standing ovation, which has yet to happen. That has not happened yet. Owen's not even listening, so... So I don't expect that to happen, but I can tell you honestly, I'm enjoying serving in ways that aren't seen, that are humbling, because I see what it does, primarily for my wife, and secondly, for my kids. And so that's how I'm that's what Jesus has been teaching me this year, and that's how I'm growing. Thank you for letting us kind of go, here's where we're not right, and here's where we're growing, and it's if you're a guest here, this is a key part of who God's called us to be, and we're seeking to live that out and to model that as best as we know how. And so, Kim, would you pray for us and for all of us as we close this time?
Jesus, we're thankful. We're thankful to you for making a way. We're thank you. The words we sang earlier that you came to rescue us. You came to be with us, and you came to do that because you didn't want to leave us in our messes. But you also weren't calling us to perform. And we're so grateful for that because we want to learn from you, and when we get to walk with you and sit at your feet and learn from you, you are proved great. You're proved loving, abounding in compassion and faithfulness, gracious, slow to anger. And you also reveal to us how much you love us, that you are pursuing us, you're running after us. God, would you give us hearts that turn and run to you, that we find ourselves being safe, knowing that we're broken, and knowing that we need you, and knowing that we can learn from you, that you will equip us, that you will love us, that you will always be faithful to us. Oh, we thank you, God. Amen.